Now, this morning, I want to bring the message, Lord willing, from Luke chapter 13, and we'll finish this chapter, Luke 13, verse 30. You see verse 30? Behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now, I'm taking the title for the message from down the last verse, verse 35 of Luke 13. And I'm taking the title for the message from this truth that the Lord declares here that he quotes from Psalm 118. This is what he gave David in Psalm 118. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is that blessed God, our Savior. The blessed Savior has come, being sent of God in the fullness of time. The blessed Savior has come for a definite reason, for a definite purpose. He knew before he came here why he would come. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man, both totally and fully God, and yet a real man who is indeed forever blessed of God. He's called in Psalm 1 the blessed man. Blessed is that man. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. I can find it, I think, rather quickly. In Psalm chapter 1, who is that blessed man? This is the description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of waters that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, that's a fit description of this blessed Savior. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In our Bible study this morning from Romans 9, verse 5, the Apostle Paul declares unto us this same glorious truth. We read and studied this morning, whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. He's over all things in providence, creation, and salvation. He's God over all things, and he's God blessed forever. And then the apostle said, amen. So be it. It is true. And think about this. He is God blessed forever, and those who are one with him and those who are found in him are also God blessed forever. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We too are God blessed forever. That is, every believer found in Christ, those people are blessed forever with him. The Lord Jesus Christ came for a definite purpose, to complete and fulfill all Scripture. Now, if you want to turn to this one, you can. You have it there in your hand. Find Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. All things must be fulfilled. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill all Scripture. And in doing so, he worked out by his faithful obedience, he worked out a perfect righteousness that he freely imputes unto his people. In doing so, he brought in perfect righteousness. Daniel writes about it in Daniel 9:24, and the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this scripture to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now that's the very righteousness that we enjoy as believers. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And in his death, dying to put away the sin of those people given to him in that covenant of grace, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, he came to do a blessed work, to fulfill all scripture, to perfect righteousness for us, which he freely imputes and gives to us, and then to put away our sin, justifying us by his blood. He laid down his life for the sheep. Remember in Isaiah 53:8, he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Aren't you glad he came? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Of all the redeeming and saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the old timers called it the mediatorial work of Christ, our Lord left nothing undone, and everything he did was absolutely successful. Everything he undertook for us, doing the work of Father, of the Heavenly Father, in redeeming his people, perfecting righteousness for them, putting away their sin, he's absolutely successful. You remember that scripture, Isaiah 42:4, where it says he cannot fail. He can't fail because he's God. Failure is not even an option, not with him. He can't fail. Everything that he undertakes for us, all the work that the Father gave him to do, he said, it is finished, done, complete, perfected. Now, with that introduction, let's come back to Luke 13, verse 30. The Lord had just declared to this most Jewish crowd that the last shall be first, and the first will be put last. You see that in verse 30. There are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. That is God's method of grace. God saves the worst of men and makes them object and trophies of his grace. Surely these Pharisees, where it says in verse 31, the same day when they heard that declare, they thought they were first. They thought they deserved salvation. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, you better get out of town and you better depart, because Herod is determined to kill you. Now what were they trying to do? They were trying to silence him. They were trying to intimidate him. They were trying to put an end to his ministry. They understood what the Lord was declaring unto them, that salvation is not by works, not by the works of ceremony, not by the tradition of the fathers. In these things they were, they thought, first. But they thought these things, the Jewish people did, the self-righteous Pharisees, they thought these things recommended them to God, or at least gained his favor, or at least, to some extent, removed his wrath. We studied again from Romans 9, verse 4, when Paul describes these Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises of God. They thought these things recommended them to God. They thought themselves to be first. If anybody will be saved, it's going to be me. I'm first. I'm first in line. The Lord said, no, you take your place in the back of the line. These dead dog Gentiles, they're going to be first. God saves sinners by his grace. The Lord blows apart their self-righteous theory of salvation, does he not? Turn over here to Luke 16, verse 15. Luke 16, 15. He said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. God knows your heart. You remember, out of the heart proceeds, remember what we read a moment ago? Evil thoughts, blasphemy, these things. You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Those things that impress religious men, God says, away with it. It is filthy rags. You see, in the way of salvation, the first shall be last, and the last place, Gentile dogs, sinners, shall by the sovereign grace of God and the power of God be crowned winners, shall be crowned first. You remember the apostle said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You see, the Lord didn't come to call the righteous, did He? He came to call sinners to repentance. Dead, dog, vile sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Is that you? Does that describe you? Or do you think, I'm first? You better take your place and consider yourself last, not deserving of the least of God's mercy and of His truth. Now, having said that, let's look at verse 31, 32, and 33. No doubt the Pharisees were much offended in these sayings, as they often were. You remember, don't turn, let me just remind you what we read a moment ago. The Pharisees, when they came and were so offended by what the Lord said, when He said, it's not that which goes into the mouth, but that which comes out of the mouth, which defiles a man. Then came His disciples unto Him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings? The self-righteous Jews were often offended over these true sayings of the Lord. So they plot, plan, and scheme to put an end to these true sayings of the Lord. As it says in verse 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, and they all were of the same mind. They all went out and held a council how they might destroy Him. They came, saying unto Him, you get out of town, get thee out, and depart. Get out of town, get out of Dodge. For Herod is going to kill you very, very, very soon. Here's what they were doing. They pretended. I believe they pretended that they went out, or that they heard that Herod was going to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. I think they were pretending this, because if you look over here in Luke 23, verse 8, when Pilate sent the Lord Jesus to Herod, in Luke 23, verse 8, look, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see Him for a long season. I believe these Pharisees made this up. He was desirous to see Him for a long season because he had heard many things of Him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by Him. Well, he was anxious to meet the Lord Jesus Christ out of curiosity, not for a need of salvation. So it's my thinking that these Pharisees just pretended that Herod put out a warrant for his arrest and for his death. Now, they try to intimidate Him. But look what the Lord says here in verse 32 and verse 33. He said to them, you go. I'm not leaving. You go. Go you and you tell that fox. You tell Herod, behold, I cast out devils. And behold, I do cures. And I'm going to do them today. I'm going to do them tomorrow. And I'm going to do them the next day. And I shall be perfected. Everything He does perfectly. He perfectly cast out devils. He perfectly does every cure that He cured. Nevertheless, look what He says, verse 33. Nevertheless, I must walk. Some of the old manuscripts render the word, I must work. Today, tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be, that is, it is impossible, that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Now, you and I can't talk in this kind of language. We cannot say tomorrow and the next day and the next day we're going to walk and we're going to work. We can't talk like that. Remember in the book of James where he says, you better say, Lord willing, we'll do this tomorrow. But see, the Lord Jesus Christ here is not just a mere man. As God, all things are decreed, and he says, tomorrow I'm going to cast out devils, and the next day I'm going to do some cures, and the third day I'm going to do some cures, and you're not going to get in my way. Aren't you glad that no one can hinder his purpose and hinder his sovereign will? The Lord said, I continue to work the works of God without fail. The time for me to die will come according to the decreed purpose of God, not by the depraved will of Herod or by you. The Lord came at the appointed time, did he not? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son made of a woman. The Lord was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and he was taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. The Lord assures us that he departed at the appointed time. Remember, he said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received in my Father. The Lord assures us that his death secured our salvation. For he says there, and I love this word, it is near akin to the word where the Lord says on Calvary's tree, it is finished. He said, I shall be perfected. And he was. He's the captain of our salvation who perfected salvation for us. You remember from Luke chapter 2, verse 49, the Lord said, I must be about my Father's business. Can anybody hinder him from the Father's business? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then he prayed in John 17, Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work you gave me to do. No one could lay a hand on him until that appointed hour. Remember, they tried to throw him off a cliff, and he simply passed through. Remember, they tried to stone him, and they were not able to do so. Until finally, in John 17, he prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And when he did willingly surrender, remember in John 18, when Judas led those men to the garden to identify the Lord Jesus Christ and betrayed him with a kiss, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. I am. Remember what happened? They all fell to the ground. You see, he willingly surrendered to the will of God at the appointed time to die the appointed death, to put away our sin. Or it says there in the text, nevertheless, verse 33, I must work and walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be. It cannot be. And that word in the original is one word, and it's only found right here, nowhere else in the Word of God. It cannot be. That is, it is impossible that a prophet should perish out of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ couldn't die in Galilee. He couldn't die in Nazareth. He couldn't die in Bethsaida. He had to die at Jerusalem. Why? To fulfill all Scripture. He died for our sin according to the Scripture. Notice what the Lord declares he's going to do in spite of all their malicious plans to end his ministry. He said, I cast out devils. The Lord, as our sovereign God, has power over all demons. He said, I control all demons. I cast out demons. And then he says, I do cures. He is a great physician who has never lost a patient. He cures everyone who had need of healing. You remember that scripture over in Luke 9? Let's turn back there and read it one more time. In Luke chapter 9, verse 11, and the people Luke 9:11, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. Everyone who came to him with a need of healing, they went away from him healed. That ought to encourage every sinner to seek mercy where it's found. And then he says, today, tomorrow, and the next day, nothing can stop the works of mercy, my labors of love, and my deeds of grace. Reminds me of the scripture in Hebrews 13:8, the Lord Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And then he says, I shall be perfected, the last part of verse 32. Remember from our study in the book of Hebrews where it said the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Surely this has reference to his third day where it's mentioned there, where he was delivered for our offenses and raised again the third day for our justification, as the Lord has perfected his people forever by that one offering. And then it said, the prophet cannot perish, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem until his work is done. Until his work is done. Now, who is this prophet? This prophet here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that prophet that God said unto Moses, that promise, God will raise up a prophet from among the brethren. Him shall you hear, and he shall speak the words of God. And those who will not hear that prophet, God said, I'll require that at your hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is that prophet sent of God to accomplish the work of God. And not only is he our prophet, but he is the Lamb of God as well. He's prophet, priest, and king, but he is the sacrificial Lamb of God to put away our sin. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ must die as the sacrifice for our sin, as the Lamb of God, and it must be done at Jerusalem, at the appointed time, for the appointed people, for the appointed purpose. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin. From Matthew 16, our Lord said this, from that time forth he began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, why Jerusalem? Well, the temple was at Jerusalem. The mercy seat was at Jerusalem. The Day of Atonement was at Jerusalem. The day of Passover was observed in Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. He is our mercy seat. He is the Lamb of God that must die at Jerusalem. He couldn't die anywhere else. And he died as the one sent of God, the prophet of God, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb that puts away our sin. Now, here's the second point. Verse 34 and verse 35. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which you've killed every prophet I've sent to you. You've stoned them that are sent unto thee. The prophets were sent with the word of God, the truth of God, the warning of God. They would not hear them for the most part. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen, as a mama chicken hen would gather her little chicks under her wings? You would not. That mama chick, mama chicken, when she has those little chicks running around and she would see a bird of prey above, she would make a sound and open up her wings, and those little chicks would run under her wings and find refuge, find security. Christ is our refuge, resting under His wings. And that's what is said here. Now we see here in verse 34 and verse 35, especially in verse 34, we see the Lord Jesus Christ is a willing Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is a compassionate Savior. He said, I would have gathered your children together, but He said, you would not have me as your refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save the lost. He laid down His life for the ungodly. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to save all those who need salvation in Him. He is willing to save all those who see their need of salvation. Look to Him. Come to Him. The Lord said, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. I am God. Beside me there is no other. I'm the only just God and Savior. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. You see the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to save sinners who see their need of salvation. The Apostle Paul put it this way, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord is saying, I would have gathered you in love and mercy, but you would not have me as all your salvation. These people love their own righteousness, not His. They love their traditions and ceremonies, not His truth. They love their own sinful self, not the Lord of glory. They said, away with Him, crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar. You remember, Pilate was determined on the day of Passover to let one who was convicted, to let him loose, to show some compassion to the Jews. You remember what those Pharisees said? Give us, Pilate suggested, well, here's Barabbas. Why don't you just let the Lord Jesus Christ go and we'll crucify Barabbas. And they said, oh no, no, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. As for him, you crucify him. You crucify this one. They said, away with him. When Pilate said, behold your king, away with him. We have no king but Caesar. Turn to John chapter 5. I think I read this last week or the week before, but John chapter 5. He said, I would have gathered you, but you wouldn't have me. Oh, may God give us grace in our heart to see our need of Christ. Look at John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Now he's talking to this same religious crowd, self-righteous crowd, and he says, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not. Oh, may God be pleased to show us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who reject the only way of salvation in Christ, there's nothing left, is there? Is there anything left? Any other Savior? Any other way of salvation? Those who reject, willingly do so, reject the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, there's nothing left but judgment. Judgment, condemnation. And you have no one to blame but your own wicked, sinful, stubborn, wicked will and heart. Don't blame anyone else but your own wicked heart. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You have no one to blame for your rebellion against God but your own wicked heart. Read the Scripture, or listen as I read it to you. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth upon you. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you, but you would not have the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he pronounced a judgment, verse 35. Luke 13, verse 35. Here's another one of these strong words. Behold, behold, your house, your person, you are left desolate. No greater judgment God could put on you than to be left to yourself. Lord, I pray this all the time. Lord, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me to myself. Surely I'll perish. Your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say this, one day you will. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Your house is left desolate forever. Those who die in their sin will be raised in their sin. Those who are raised in their sin will face God in judgment in those sins and will be cast out of his presence forever. As it says over here in verse 28 of Luke 13, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Judgment, judgment, judgment. One day in judgment, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's turn and read that together. Find Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. One day you will confess. I pray that the Lord will give you grace now in your heart to confess Christ as all of your salvation. But look what it says over here in Philippians chapter 2. Let's begin at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name, the name of the Lord Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day you'll bow and confess that he is Lord. But I want to conclude this message with this last saying here. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is the true confession of faith of all those who are willing, made willing to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ now in the day of his power. To you who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, he is precious. This is what faith, true faith, and true repentance confesses. Can you say this in your heart? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to find 1 Peter. I'll let you go with this one. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I pray the Lord will give all of us grace in our heart. You young people, you old people, you middle-aged people, all of us here this day, to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Find 1 Peter 1, look at verse 3. Let me read this to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefit, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what saving faith says. Now let's quit with this one. Find 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Oh, may God give us grace to hear the word and to believe the word of God and to say in our heart before God Almighty, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.